But we're going to turn for some scripture reading, and we're going to turn to Philippians chapter 3. And we do have in several of our churches some sick folks, all our churches, of course, throughout North America. Once in a while you'll get an email stating that such and such is sick and needs our prayers. Well, we have the same there in Barrie, and we see the body and how it begins to deteriorate. And so I thought this evening we'll just have a few thoughts or focus this evening on the change, this great change that will take place one day for God's people. Let us come in at verse number 10. We'll come in at verse number 10. We'll just shorten up our reading. This is the Apostle Paul speaking here, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he's able even to subdue all things unto himself. With our Bibles open, let us ask for the Lord's help. Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that we're found in Thy presence on this Lord's Day evening. And our Father, we thank Thee for the encouragement of Thy Word. We thank Thee, Lord, that we have a God to whom we can come to, a God who understands us even better than ourselves. And our Father, we thank Thee that though we're going through difficult times in this world, we thank Thee, Lord, that Thou hast said that one day Thou wilt rend the heavens. Thou wilt come down, and there will be a great change even in thine own people. And our Father, we ask of thee this evening that thou would encourage especially those who are going through difficult times. And Father, may we look, as Paul indicated here in thy word, that we too would look to the Lord Jesus Christ. Despite our difficulties, we may look even to him. Grant these things, for we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Our text is found this evening in verses 20 and 21. For our conversation, Paul says, is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Our text this evening gives us one of those clear glimpses into the world beyond this life. And although there are not many in the New Testament, each one should be very dear to the heart of every Christian, especially for those who recently have lost loved ones, those who are going through difficult times. Well, it's a verse here which we can encourage ourselves in. The Apostle Paul, in the early part of the third chapter, had been speaking of certain individuals, individuals whose interests were centered only upon earthly things, whose confidence was all in the flesh. And of these persons, he says to be aware of because they're evil workers. And Paul says that their end will be, in the life to come, will be that of destruction. In contrast to this, then, the Apostle Paul, he describes the life of a true servant of Jesus Christ, that their conversation or their citizenship is in heaven and not in this earth, because we're just passing through. And even though they have not arrived, their citizenship is in heaven. Heaven is their country. Therefore, it should occupy a first place in the thoughts even of God's people. And it's unfortunate because many times we have to go through difficult times in this world. Something has to come into our lives where then we begin to really think of the life to come. We become sick in this world, we go through difficult situations, difficult circumstances, and then we begin to think of heaven. Our conversation, verse 20, he says, is in heaven. But the apostle does not stop there. He tells them that they cannot enter in until a great change takes place, or what we can say, an unimaginable experience, because there will be a great change in the body. The Bible talks about the corruptible must put on the uncorruptible. And so Paul points them to Christ, Christ who is the author of this great change. And he simply tells them to keep their eyes fixed upon the Lord Jesus Christ while this scene of time lasts. He says, we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body. In other words, we may be experiencing some bodily difficulties in our lives. We may be tossed to and fro. Some have had tremendous difficulties, even in our own families, going from one hospital to another, from one place to another, and it may seem very dark, many concerns. Sickness of the body, especially today where there's so much sickness is around, and yet the Apostle Paul says here, we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body. And he goes on to say that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working that whereby he's able to subdue all things unto himself. And so this evening, I just want to take this verse and just bring out the three basic facts that we find. And the first thing is that our present bodies are vile. It reads here, who shall change, quote, our vile body. Our present state of existence is one of humiliation. We are weak. We are feeble. We all have vile bodies. And to understand this more clearly, we must remember the origin of the human body. It is made out of the very dust of the earth. It reads in Genesis 2 and verse number 7, and the Lord formed man out of the dust of the ground. Now, of course, when God made man, when he made Adam and Eve, the Bible says that when God created, whatever he created was very good. It wasn't vile yet. But as time went on, a very short period of time went by, Adam and Eve sinned. As we looked at this morning, they disobeyed God, and that body became vile. Ever since that time, the body became corrupt. It became tainted with sin. It became sinful. And it changed for the worse. And we could all see it within ourselves. It became subject to all sicknesses, to all the pains, diseases, infirmities, and then death itself. A state of debasement. Our text says vile body. Bible describes our body as a vile body. Now keep in mind that there's nothing vile of the substance of the body. We have blood, we have bones, tissues, and so forth. Itself, it's not vile. There is nothing vile in the elements of the human frame. We look at the construction of the body. It's not vile. We see so much divine design. We see so much wisdom, so much skill and displayed in every part of the human body. But because of original sin, man has destroyed himself. We have been infected by it, and therefore our bodies have become vile. We read there in Isaiah chapter 64 and verse number 6, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we do all fade as a leaf. We fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. We all have unclean bodies, prone to sin. We're all struggling, and even though this is true, yet how many try to deny the fact? They live as if, well, they're going to live in this world forever. Look at the Bible, what it says, what God says concerning the life of the, in this world. In Isaiah chapter 40 and verse number 6, the Lord states there in verse number 6, the voice said, cry, and he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass. All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. That's what God's estimate is of our bodies. Also, Job, he made it very clear, a man who went through tremendous difficulties in this life. And he said in Job chapter 14, verses 1 and 2, a man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. And then in the New Testament, we have James. James says, what is your life? It's even a vapor. We have 1 Peter, also 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 24. What does he say? For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. It is the same sense that Paul says, our vile body, or we can say the body of humiliation. It's a decaying texture. Every day we see, we hear of certain individuals falling sick, decaying. Sometimes we don't see them for a while, and then we see some great changes. Great changes. People in the, even the Berry Church, one individual, well, a great change has taken place in his body. And I don't have to prove it because, well, we've all seen it ourselves. We've all seen how weak our bodies are. It's a vile body indeed. And when the Lord Jesus Christ was here on earth, we understand he also had a body. That body was like ours in all respect, except that it could see no corruption. When we die, well, our bodies will see corruption. But Christ's body did not see corruption because, remember, his body was undefiled with sin. It was a sinless body, and a body in which he wept sweat great drops of blood. Well, he yielded up his spirit. It was the body of his humiliation. He rose from the dead with the same body which ascended up to heaven. And the full glory, of course, was concealed until he was out of sight of mortal eyes, for it would have been too bright for them. So this is the body of humiliation. Those of us who are born again, while we're here upon this earth, our bodies will remain corruptible. At times, as time goes on, it will become weaker and weaker, and then at last it will yield even to death. It's a fact. It will fall to the ground. You see, you could clothe this body with the best of clothes. You could have the finest royal robes upon it. You could have nations bow down before it. It could have dominion over nations, and yet it is still a vile body. And it is subject to decay, and liable to fall in just a moment. It could show signs of great intellect. Well, it could have a strength as, well, Mr. Universe perhaps, but it's still a vile body. It can be fast. It can do the 100 yards under 10 seconds, but yet it's still a vile body. The Bible says, God knoweth our frame and remembereth that we are dust. The body of humiliation. But as we turn back to our text, notice secondly that there is a great change predicted here, because in verse 21 it says, who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body? And so there's going to be a great change. The bodies in which we have is going to be changed if you are in Christ. A great change is going to take place, and this change is going to take place well, when the Lord Jesus Christ returns for the second time, he will change our vile body, fashion it like unto his own glorious body. And this marvelous change is spoken of in Scripture, Paul's letter to the Corinthians. It adds more light to this great change that's going to take place because of Paul. He says there in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 51, "Behold," he says, "I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" Now, we don't have, of course, all the details of this great change or define all the differences between the two estates here of the body. And besides, I don't think we do have all the facts. We only have a little knowledge concerning this great a change or this great transformation. What we do know is that the new body shall be incorruptible. And because the spirit shall be immortal, so shall the body. It will be raised in power. Because the body will be sinless, there's going to be no more pain. The pains in which we're experiencing, there's going to be no more sickness, as the Bible says. And it seems at times that the nerves and the veins and the pulses and the vessels, the valves, well, it seems that they were all instruments for pain to be produced. But then when this change takes place, well, the body will be made not to endure such things any longer. Also the Christian. We understand also the Christian, who had it very rough in this world, didn't have an arm or a leg or maimed, perhaps, he's not going to remain that way when the Lord Jesus Christ comes. They will not be that way in heaven. The Bible says they are without fault before the throne of God. The Bible says we shall be like him. And this is true of all saints, whether they're so-called great saints in the eyes of others, whether they have just simple faith, weak believers. This is true of all saints. It will all happen, as the Bible says, very suddenly, in the twinkling of an eye. It's the miracle of miracles. Imagine this great change that's going to occur to you and I. A great change. It's going to happen. Those who will be alive, the Bible talks about those that will be alive and remain at the coming of Christ, they will undergo it. And not only that, but they will enter glory without death. Now, I'm not trying to push on any eschatology here, but the Bible says, for the corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. The miracle even gets more amazing when we consider that the believers, all the believers of centuries past, who have been in their graves so long that, well, if you would open them up, you'd see nothing but dust or mold, whatever, yet that will be transformed into the likeness of Christ's glorious body. And if it wasn't in Scripture, well, we'd be mad to preach such things. But that's what the Bible says. Yes, even their bodies who have turned to dust, those that have gone, the dust has gone into the soil, yet it's going to be raised, the Bible says, and rebuilded and refashioned. Well, it's hard for the mind. It's hard for the mind to conceive such a change. But we can even go further here than all this to see the wonder of it all, because if you could remember the thousands of God's people who were even denied a grave, those who lived in times of persecution, those who were cut off by martyrdom, those that were cut in pieces, given to wild animals, those who were burned alive and perished in the fire, nothing left, those whose ashes were blown in the wind or thrown in rivers, which led to the oceans, well, those that were devoured by lions in the Roman amphitheaters, digested by animals? Well, all these bodies will be refashioned. Very difficult for the mind to conceive. And this is the most difficult imagination to understand, the most difficult for the imagination to understand. And yet the Lord says He's going to do it. The Lord has spoken in His Word. And notice what it says there. We usually say these, we usually read these at, read these verses at funerals. But it does tell us here in 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 13, "But I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them that are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others that have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." More insight. Tells us here again, Christ's people will be changed at this, his appearing. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and the rest that are living will be caught up. Not all going to sleep, but we shall all be changed, caught up together, and the meeting place will be in the air. And no wonder we have such hymns as we have in our hymn book. Some glorious morning, sorrow will see. Some glorious morning, all will be peace. Headaches all ended. School days all done. Heaven will open, Jesus will come. Sad hearts will gladden, all will be bright. Goodbye forever to earth's dark night. Changed in a moment like him to be, O glorious daybreak, Jesus I'll see. Some golden daybreak, Jesus will come. Some golden daybreak, battles all won. He'll shout the victory, break through the blue. Some golden daybreak for me and for you. And I wonder if this is our hope this evening. I wonder if this is our hope in Christ Jesus, that Christ will come. He will come and change our vile bodies at his appearing. One final thought. If you look back at our text, notice what it says here. According to the working whereby he's able even to subdue all things unto himself. What great power. What great power is in Christ. Everything, of course, depends upon that. Christ is going to do this transformation. Paul had no doubt. Paul had no doubt that the Lord Jesus Christ, who was crucified 30 years before, was living and reigning while he himself was writing to the Philippians. He knew that the Lord was alive. Paul knew that Christ had actual jurisdiction over all things on earth and in heaven. As God, he always had such power. It belongs to his eternal oneness with the Father. It reads in Matthew 28 and verse 18, "All power is given me in heaven and in earth." And when Christ does come, it's not going to be some new power to perform all this, but a power which he already has at this very moment. Nothing is or will be too hard for the Lord Jesus Christ. All power is given unto me. If he's able to raise the dead back to life, if he's able to recollect and rearrange a body which has become dust and scattered perhaps a thousand directions, nothing will be too hard for the Lord. And the Bible says that God created all things out of nothing. So why can't the Lord perform something that he's promised to do even concerning ourselves? Creation is, after all, the great miracle, the miracle of miracles. And the man who believes it will not question God's word, especially the resurrection of the dead. He's not going to question it. When the trumpet sounds, it will bring the dead from their graves. And no particles, there's no particle will disobey this great summons. Our text reads, he is able to subdue all things unto himself. What unspeakable power is vested in our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And this includes salvation, because the Bible says that He's able to save even unto the uttermost. Doesn't matter how far gone a person may be, He's able to save unto the uttermost. And I read that there lived in the late 18th century in Perugia, Italy, a man of the loosest morals. He had given up all religion. He'd given up on a religion and hated God. In fact, he was in such a desperate state of mind that he actually conceived a affection for the devil. And he writes there that he endeavored to worship even the devil. As a matter of fact, he desired nothing better than to be a devil himself. That's how far gone he was. On one occasion, a Christian missionary was visiting his city, and a priest happened to say in this man's hearing that there were Protestants in Perugia. The city was being defiled by heretics. "And who do you think Protestants are?" he said. "Well, they are men," said the priest, "who have renounced Christ, and they are ones that worship the devil." Well, the man hearing this thought, "Oh, then I will go, and I will meet with them, for I am much of their own mind." And so away he went to this meeting, this Protestant meeting. And he went to this meeting in the hope of finding an assembly of those that worshipped the devil. But to his surprise, he went to the meeting and he heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as he heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, as he heard of the power of Christ and that Christ was able to save unto the uttermost, well, he responded and he came to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Christ, you see, Christ is able to subdue all things unto himself. And no sinner has gone too far, and none are too hardened, because he is able to subdue all things unto himself. What power is invested in the Lord Jesus Christ? And so this evening, God knows our frailties. God knows that we're made out of the dust of the ground. But how encouraging it is to know that the hour is coming. The hour is coming in which the Lord Jesus Christ will change our vile bodies and fashion it like unto his glorious body. How glorious will be the power to perform it. Let us therefore look constantly to Christ. You can't look to him too much. Next time you feel pain, next time you go through difficulties in your body especially, it should tell you that the hour is near. The hour is near in which the Lord Jesus Christ will come and he will change our vile bodies. Your redemption will come, our redemption will come, and it will be as though we had never known a fallen world or a fallen human race. And our text makes it very clear, who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he's able even to subdue all things unto himself. May the Lord encourage us this evening, especially those that are going through difficulties. We all have difficulties of body. Age creeps up very quickly. But thank God we can turn our thoughts towards our Savior, who has promised to change our vile bodies. We're just going to close with prayer, and let us all stand. Let us pray. Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the Word of God. We rejoice, Lord, in these great words, these great promises that Thou hast given to Thy people, that we're able to look, and we're able to look to Him who has given us great and exceedingly great promises. And our Father, we would ask of Thee that we may be those that would trust in the Lord, that we would not trust in our own understanding. We thank Thee, Lord, that Thy Word says that Thou does all things well. And so, our Father, we thank Thee for this great change that one day Thou wilt perform. And our Father, we thank Thee for this great power that Thou has. We thank Thee that we may trust this evening in the power of the everlasting God. Lord, encourage us, we pray, and dismiss us in Thy blessing. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.